It's early afternoon, shortly after the close of our last episode, as inside city jail, a guard leads prisoner Francis Riley towards a conference room.
Come on, step it up, Riley, step it up. Quit dragging your feet, kid.
Wait a minute, Mr. Noel.
For what? You're doing the conference room now. You keep the gent waiting.
I don't want to see Mr. Mason.
Huh? How do you know it's Mr. Mason? The sarge told me he made the appointment out of a clear blue sky and only a little while ago. How'd you know it's Mason?
I don't know. I must have heard it somewhere.
Ah, grapevines and good work in order. Okay. Here we are.
Look, Mr. Nolan, I don't feel good. I'm sick.
Huh?
I don't want to see Mr. Mason. I don't have to if I'm sick, do I?
No. Not if you're sick.
No kidding, Mr. Nolan. I don't feel good.
You don't look good. You look scared to death. What's eating you, kid? Why are you scared of Perry Mason?
I'm not.
All right, then quit acting like it. All right, go ahead. Oh, hi, Mr. Mason, Mr. Street.
Nolan. Hello, Francis.
Hello, Mr. Mason.
I'll be out in the hall. Just punch the buzzer when you want me. How are you doing, Mr. Street?
Fine, Nolan. You?
Well, to tell you the truth, me feet hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Francis, this is my secretary, Miss Street.
How do you do?
Won't you sit down?
No, thanks, Mr. Mason. Look, Mr. Mason, I got nothing to say, so you can punch that buzzer now.
Well, I just got here.
So now you can just wheel around and get out of here.
Yes, yes, I could.
Well, then do it. Leave me alone. Why don't you just leave me alone? I'm sorry, Mr. Mason. I shouldn't have said that. I know you want to help.
Yes.
But you can't. There's nothing you or anybody else can do.
Well, why don't you sit down? You feeling well, Francis?
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm okay. Look, quit wasting your time, Mr. Mason.
Oh, nothing I'd rather do than waste time. See, if I weren't here, I'd be in my office where Miss Street would make me go to work. Miss Street here keeps my nose to the grindstone.
Don't you believe it, Francis. I just try to.
Oh.
Give me a match, Chief. Would you like a cigarette, Francis?
No, ma'am, I don't smoke. I wasn't kidding, Mr. Mason. There's nothing I can tell you.
Well, perhaps you'll change your mind after I tell you a couple of things. Will you listen?
Yes, sir, but... Yes, sir?
You're in a tough spot, Francis. You stole a car, you were drinking, you wrecked the car, and you're lucky somebody didn't get killed. Okay, those things are facts. When you go to trial, you'll be found guilty.
And that's all she wrote.
No, that isn't the whole story. Your judge will have a choice to make. He can give you a light sentence or he can throw the book at you. He'll make up his mind according to the facts he knows about you. Now, some people have talked to me about you, Francis. Gertie Lang, my office girl. She's known you since you were a kid. Gertie says you're the last boy she expected to see get in trouble. And Gertie has sense. Your lawyer spoke to me.
Mr. Pratt's a nice guy.
Yes. He and I agreed that there's more to it than the known facts.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, snap out of it, Riley. You didn't start drinking on impulse. You didn't steal that car on impulse. Something or somebody made you jump the track.
What really happened, Francis?
Nothing. I mean, look, nobody made me do it. I did it on my own hook.
Oh? You ever had a drink before the night you stole that car?
Sure, lots of times.
What?
Well, I get a bottle.
What brand?
Well, different kinds. Well,
name a few.
Well, I don't remember.
Oh. Why did you decide to steal a car?
I just did.
Why?
Well, I wanted money.
Did you expect to sell it?
Sure.
Where?
Where?
Yes, that's what I asked. Where do you sell a stolen car? I'm curious. Where?
I hadn't worked that out yet.
You must have had an idea.
Well...
You wouldn't steal a car without having some idea where to dispose of it.
No, sir.
Okay, where?
Well, what I mean is I had kind of an idea.
Where?
Well, I really didn't know a place.
You stole a car without knowing where to sell it?
Yes, sir. No. You got me all mixed up.
It was so easy to get you all mixed up, Francis. When a man starts lying, he trips over his own lies. Why don't you tell me the truth?
I can't.
Afraid of the consequences?
No, you're putting words in my mouth, Mr. Mason. I didn't say I'm scared. What have I got to be scared about? Now, where'd you get that crazy idea, Mr. Mason? Look, if I said one single word gave you the idea I'm scared or anything... Well, I'm not going to say any more, Mr. Mason. Not another word.
Well, keep that up. And the judge is going to throw the book at you, Francis.
Guess I can take it.
Hmm, sure. course, it'll be hard for your mother to take.
Mom? You talked to Mom?
She came to see me.
How is Mom?
You should know.
Yeah. Well, at least I'm not dead.
What made you say that?
I just said it.
Why?
Because there are worse things than what'll happen to me. Now, go ahead. Punch the button, Mr. Mason. No, wait a minute. Before you go, I want to tell you and Miss Street both that I hate to be a jerk, Mr. Mason. You've taken the trouble to help me. Thank you, Mr. Mason. I mean it. You know I mean it.
Yes, I think you do.
If I could tell you anything, I just can't. I want to ask you one more favor, Mr. Mason. Tell her I'll be okay. Tell her not to worry. Just tell her not to worry.
Sure.
Thanks. Now, go ahead. Call the guard.
Now, sometime later, as in the office of Gordy Weber's immediate superior...
Send Mr. Weber in.
Okay, J.T.?
I believe so, Gordy. Uh-huh. Apparently the boy followed instructions. Apparently he gave Mr. Perry Mason no information.
Well, not that he really knew anything. Gus is real careful that way.
Yes, but Perry Mason is a keen individual.
J.T., look, even if the kid told Mason everything he knows...
Mason could become interested. Gordy, let me tell you something. You've no idea of the scope and size of our enterprise.
Well, I know it's big.
Very big. But we're very careful to make it look small. Very small.
Yeah, I understand, J.T., but I still say Riley couldn't spill the beans because he don't know enough.
Perhaps you're right. That isn't true of Kate Beekman.
You ready for me to go ahead? I can get it done today, tomorrow at the latest.
You think it'll work, Gordy?
Yeah, I know the girl. You want me to go ahead?
I've been thinking about it, Gordy.
Well, what's that to think about? We want the girl where we can keep tabs on her. I know the way to handle it. Look, I'm just wasting time, J.T. I'll get busy.
Come back here. You aren't going to do it, Gordy. There's a better way.
Oh, yeah? You think so, huh? I'm telling you, J.T., I know that girl, and I know what she'll fall for.
Oh, we'll use your idea, my boy, but we'll ask someone else to put it into effect.
Who?
You don't need to know that, Gordy.
Yeah, well, maybe I get it. The big fella?
What do you mean?
You got to clear with the big fella.
Oh, of course, I'll discuss it with him.
Yeah, meaning you got to ask his permission. What's it like, J.T.?
What?
Working for the guy.
You work for him, too.
Ah, I work for you.
Yeah, but actually...
I never saw the guy. I don't even know his name. What's he like, J.T.?
I shouldn't be curious if I were you, Gordy.
Well, how can I help but be curious? Look, what kind of a guy is the big fella?
He's a brilliant man, Gordy.
Yeah.
Extremely able.
And hard as nails, huh?
When necessary, but he strikes one as being a handsome, cultivated gentleman.
Good looking?
Oh, very handsome, athletic figure.
Everything you're not, huh, J.T.?
Yes, Gordy. Everything I'm not. Although it isn't very tactful of you to say so.
Well, no offense, J.T. Tell the big guy hello for me, huh?
Very well, Gordy. I'm going to see him shortly. Yes, yes, I'll tell him. And now I think you'd better get out. I'll contact you later in the day.
Well, aren't you curious about the handsome and cultured and mysterious man J.T. calls the big fellow? We're going to meet the big fellow in our next episode. So be sure to join us tomorrow, won't you?